What about our attitudes towards autonomous vehicles? They're shaped by our attitudes towards computers and robots. If you haven't heard this robot tell this little boy, "Danger, Will Robinson, ask a gray-headed or bald-headed person during a break," and they'll explain to you about Lost in Space and Robbie the Robot. So we're conflicted. And actually, Robbie the Robot wasn't in Lost in Space. That was in another movie, but that robot was a different robot. We're conflicted. About half of us think autonomous vehicles are going to make driving safer. Half of us think it's going to make it more dangerous. Half of us would ride them. Half of us wouldn't. And so who is developing these? What companies? This is just a very, very partial list. And companies are spending billions with a B. The expenditures are so big that even Toyota is saying, we can't do this alone. We need to joint venture this with other companies. So companies are making alliances. Strange bedfellows are being made for this development because the costs are so huge. How do AVs work? If you think they work solely using GPS, global positioning system, you're wrong. GPS is just a part of it. GPS is only accurate to within 1 to 2 feet. 1 nanosecond of error in your GPS system equals 1 foot of error. 2 nanoseconds is 2 feet. GPS is not precise enough to keep you out from under the wheels of the 18-wheeler. I don't want to be in an autonomous vehicle that's being guided solely by GPS. So they're guided by a number of things. LIDAR. Many of us haven't heard of that. Light waves, about 1.5 million light pulses, rather, more specifically, being beamed out that's creating a three-dimensional picture. Delphi is one of the manufacturers of LIDAR, and this is their promo sheet, or one of them, for LIDAR. And you'll see there's a deer in the line of sight that the LIDAR can see and map, but there's a deer behind the tree in the graphic that LIDAR cannot see and cannot map and cannot anticipate maybe running out in front of the AV. LIDAR needs line of sight. That's important. And LIDAR actually can paint, by the way, the paint lines in the roadway. LIDAR can pick those up and map them and paint them, which is great, unless they aren't there. How many of you have ever driven on a road that's been resurfaced and hasn't yet been restriped? How many of you have ever driven in the rain, sleet, or snow? All of those conditions can confuse and throw off LIDAR. And remember, GPS isn't accurate enough on its own. So it's a hodgepodge of inputs that's coming into the computer, including GPS, including LIDAR inputs, including radar. That would be radio waves. We've heard of that from World War II in the old movies. All of that comes into the mix. NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, has 5 levels. You'll see level 4 is the highest, but it starts at level 0. We today are transitioning between levels 2 and 3. Level 4 is fully autonomous. I literally can sit back and check my emails. If you own a Tesla or you have been subjected to their marketing, you would believe and you could be forgiven for believing we're already at level 4. We ain't. We're not even close to it. And see if you think I'm engaging in hyperbole when I show you that in a minute. SAE, the Society of Automotive Engineers, instead of just 5 levels like NHTSA has 6. And the reason is the SAE levels 4 and 5 are the equivalent of NHTSA level 4. But it's a very analogous system. So AVs are on the road. I've told you that. You know that. You've seen references to them. You've read about them in the news. You've probably even read about some of the crashes. We know they crash, but why do they crash? They crash for 2 primary reasons. They crash because AVs don't always see well, and AVs don't always think well. What do I mean by that? Well, we've talked about the difficulties with LIDAR and line of sight and rain and striping and things like that. So those are sight issues. What do I mean when I say the AVs don't always think well? Well, they're programmed to make certain assumptions about their environment and the actions of other drivers. Stationary objects that suddenly become fast-moving objects, the AV systems do not yet respond well consistently to those scenarios. So that's one thinking issue. The early versions of the AVs were programmed, many of them, to assume that all of the other drivers on the road would follow the traffic laws. What could be wrong with that assumption? That's a thinking problem. And so those are just some of the reasons why they crash. And then we've got ethical issues. Some people are going to die to a certainty, and already have, who wouldn't die if we weren't rolling out these AVs. And so we and our legislators, whether we've made this explicit trade or not, have decided that's okay. We're going to sacrifice lives today for hopefully more lives saved in the future. That's an ethical issue. Make no mistake about it. And whose lives are the AVs programmed to prioritize? The passenger in the vehicle or the pedestrians on the sidewalk that the AV may have to veer up onto suddenly to keep me in the AV from getting crunched by the 18-wheeler? That's another ethical question. I, for one, if I'm riding in the AV, don't want to take one for the team. I want my AV programmed to prioritize my behind. And Mercedes and Toyota are two companies that have decided that very thing. The AV will be programmed to prioritize the lives of the AV occupants. So let's take a whirlwind tour of some AV crashes and see if you don't begin to see some very consistent patterns as to why and how these have crashed. And see if you walked into this discussion with blind faith in AVs and computers and, oh my goodness, they're so sophisticated, they must be safer. See if that's not a little bit shaken at the end of my talk.